Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Hello, it's Prabhupada. I'm sorry we missed the last two days beyond our control. In fact, the internet was off until about 15 minutes ago. And then somehow it just appeared again. So... let's see if we'll be able to stay on. I'm not sure exactly. I've been told that ISKCON Boston congregation is connected to this, and I have no idea if they're connected or not. But I already said to a Vanamali Pandit that I'm not going to adapt to newcomers. If they want to come, it's like we've been speaking for the last maybe five sessions from a certain section from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And can we turn that off? Okay. Anyways, if they're here, welcome. And if you're not there, well, we're just going to speak to whoever is there. Situation here in Mayapur is it's transcendental. And it's hard to forecast how things will continue to go, but it seems like electricity is on, internet is on, and hopefully we'll make it through this session. So I'm not going to... what is that? Huh?
Battery low.
Battery low. Okay. I'm trying to remember where we were. Chapter 3, Bhajan. And we ended on... yes, I remember. We read the first verse where the Vaikuntha Dutas told Gopakumar to practice pure devotional service in the form of Nam Sankirtan with the hope of gaining the eternal contact of the Lord's divine lotus feet. That was the last verse we read with a short purport. Bhagavan Nam Sankirtan, loud chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the most effective way to achieve Vaikuntha or whatever else one may desire. But the chanting must be practiced in pure devotion, unmixed with motives of karma and jnana. Now next verse. Text 145. By that devotional service, you will soon realize the treasure of prema, and you will easily see Krishna in Vaikuntha. Next verse. Some think that remembering rather than chanting is the essential means of devotional service. Essential means of devotional practice, the means that most effectively leads to prema. For bhakti in the form of chanting appears quickly and easily and in only one sense, that of speech, which is not itself alive and conscious. Commentary. This was the opinion expressed by the masters of yoga on Tapoloka, that of all the forms of devotional service, the best is smarana, remembering. Pipalayana and others insisted that remembering the Lord, rather than chanting his names, is the most essential means of achieving prema. They reasoned that kirtan involves only one sense, that of speech, which is one of the karmendriyas, an unconscious material entity. And since the kirtan process is perfected very quickly, its result must be less than that of smarana. I'm going to read that verse. That's a short verse that's being spoken about here. This is Pipalayana Rishi, who spoke to Gopakumar when he was on Tapaloka. And I'm going to go back just a little bit, because it's important to understand that Gopakumara was exposed on Tapaloka to Smarana, which is also one of the nine processes of devotional service. He was exposed to that by what he saw there. The residents of Tapaloka were engaged in meditation. Not only were they engaged in meditation, but a good portion of the time they were absorbed in samadhi, complete trance. So much so that when the residents of Tapaloka were having dialogue with the four Kumaras who he saw there when he first arrived in Tapaloka. It's also interesting to note that Pipalayana Rishi, he's one of the nine yogendras, and he can travel anywhere in the universe. And he's free to travel where he likes, and he goes to the planets of the devatas, he goes to the planets of the mystic yogis, he goes to Siddhaloka, and he happened to be there at an appropriate time to speak to Gopakumara. And the four Kumaras, they also travel, as we know, although their residence is Siddhaloka or Tapaloka. As we know from the Bhagavatam, they went to Vaikuntha, and they were stopped by the gatekeepers Jai and Vijay. They also travel. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that both the Navayogendras as well as the four Kumaras is situated on the platform of Shantarati, or Shantaras. They're engaged in meditation on the Lord. So when Gopakumara saw the four Kumaras and they were having a discussion, it was a very deep philosophical discussion, something which Sanatana Goswami explained in the commentary was completely over Gopakumara's head. It was when he heard the dialogue that they were having, it was compared to like a discussion of the personified prayers of the personified Vedas. Very deep philosophical discussion. And Gopakumara saw that conversation. The conversation was quite animated, and it continued for some time. And then the conversation ended. And when the conversation ended, everybody just kind of went off to their various stations, places, wherever it was that they went to. And they went into trance. And which is what's done in Tapoloka. People sit and in trance, in a state of trance and samadhi. And Gopakumara even approached some of them. And because he wanted to ask them, where's the Lord of the universe? Because that's his particular aspiration. Everywhere he goes, he wants to see the Lord. And it's his only interest is to see the Lord. We already talked about that in the previous session, that one of the benefits Vaikuntha Dutas told him about Vaikuntha is when you go to Vaikuntha, uninterrupted, you'll see the Lord. He's always manifest, always present. So when he approached the residents of Tapoloka, they didn't even look at him because they were in complete trance, samadhi. And there were consequences that happened as a result of that. And within Gopakumara, the consequences were that his enthusiasm dwindled as a result of being there and as a result of seeing. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand that the Lord wasn't accessible to him because he wasn't accustomed to their method of meditation. But he was fully accessible to them because they were all in trance. And they were sitting there in samadhi and complete trance and meditating on the form of the Lord. And then the result was, as we said, Gopakumara's enthusiasm began to dwindle, and he began to think about maybe I should go back to Nilachala, because in Nilachala, Lord Jagannath is there and he's present. I can always see him when I want to see him, and his mind, and this is the point that I want to get to. His mind was unsettled. And because his mind was unsettled, Pipalayana Rishi, who is a great mystic, yogi, travels all over the universe, showed up just in time to see Gopakumara with an unsettled mind on Tapoloka. And he began to speak to Gopakumara, saying, "You know, what are you doing? Why are you always trying to see the Lord with your eyes? Don't you know that here, on this place, nobody has to see the Lord with their eyes? The Lord is accessible to them internally, within, by meditation." And Pipalayana Rishi then went on to explain with a lot of detail how superior meditation is, or smarana, to chanting. In other words, he considers that to be the best, because chanting, as this verse described, chanting involves only one of the karmendriyas, or two, the tongue and the ears, and they're subordinate to the mind. The mind is superior. Without the mind, and you can't really extract any benefit from the senses, because the senses deliver information to the mind, and the mind is what processes it all from the senses. Without the mind, you can't have access to the Lord. So why are you trying to look for him with your eyes? And therefore, his preference, as well as the preference of those who are residents of Tapoloka, is the mind, absorption of the mind, smarnam, remembrance of the Lord. And that's the point that is being made here. And the Vaikuntha Dut is just referring to some think, he's actually talking about those some, are the residents of Tapaloka. Some think that remembering rather than chanting is the essential means of devotional practice, the means that most effectively leads to prema. For bhakti, in the form of chanting, appears quickly and easily and in only one sense, that of speech, which is not itself alive and conscious. Next verse. Superior bhakti, in the form of remembering, they think, appears within the mind. That turbulent, frightful, and mighty chief of all the senses, when by serious efforts the mind has been brought under control and fully purified. So they say superior bhakti is when the mind is controlled and absorbed in meditation. And when the mind is brought under control, then because it's the chief of all the senses will be brought under control. But please remember also what we spoke about prior. I can't remember when it was. It might have been the last class. But emphasis was on that the senses, for one who's situated on the platform of love, the senses are not an obstacle at all for devotional service. The senses are completely purified, and the senses are a means for achieving mercy from the Lord through the senses. In other words, as the point that was made, is that the neophyte or the newcomers to bhakti, they are allowed to experience some pleasure with their senses because they're thinking, yes, with my tongue, I am chanting Hare Krishna. With my ears, I'm hearing this wonderful, sound vibration. I'm hearing this wonderful presentation. I'm relishing it with my tongue and with my ears, with my tongue and my ears. But the point was that was made by the Vaikuntha Dutas is that's how newcomers to bhakti think, my tongue, my ears. But those who are advanced along the path, no, it's no question of them thinking that way. How did he present? They presented it as that great devotees fixed in devotional service do not think the services they do to be actions under their own control, but expressions of the Lord's supreme mercy. Whereas to the new servants, devotional service appears to be a function of their own senses, body, and mind, so that neophytes can engage in devotional service with relish, as they should. And this, of course, is another, going back when we talked about Prabhupada's presentation that bhakti begins, the bhakti lata bij is the awakening of taste. How can we experience with completely purified senses? But we do experience it, even though the senses aren't completely purified, because that's the nature of kirtan. That's the nature of transcendental sound vibration, is that it can be relished even with impure senses. One can get a taste, and by that taste, Vishaya vinivartante nirahadasya dehina rasavajam rasopyasva param jisvar nivartate. By that taste that one experiences with the senses, then gradually what happens is the senses become purified and one begins to experience Krishna's presence in his name. Not with purified senses, not with mundane senses. What is that verse from Brahma Samhita? Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridyeshu valokyanti. One's eyes are anointed with the salve of love, then one sees Krishna everywhere, When one's senses are purified, beginning by the tongue, one can see, experience Krishna's presence everywhere. So these are completely purified senses. But what about those who don't have completely purified senses? Therefore, Vaikuntha Duta say, don't worry, you could still get some taste. You could still get something to inspire you to go further. Just like the blessing that we had, that Gopakumara had by the from his spiritual master. He said, I give you the blessing that you have keep the right mentality to taste the fruit of your mantra. He also said, in the beginning, okay, just you may have so many different other things that are there which are attractive to your senses, but I give you the blessing to keep the right mentality so that you can taste the fruit. It's a blessing. He had it. It's a nice blessing to have, actually, when you think about it. Well, one receives the mantra to get the blessing that I give you the blessing to have the right mentality to taste the fruit. Of course, the other blessing was that you'll live a very long life and you'll always have the form of a cowherd, young cowherd boy. Anyways, that was his blessing that he received, but it was by dint of some previous qualification for sure that he got the association of Jayanta, who gave him that blessing. And what to speak of, it was by some previous qualification that Radharani sent Jayanta and said, go and deliver this message to Gopakumar today and bring him back. So, anyways, so the point was the senses. So, senses for a devotee, the Pipalaya Rishi is trying to diminish the authenticity of the senses, saying the senses are subordinate to the mind. Much better is to control the mind and fix it on the Lord. But then this verse says that turbulent, frightful, and mighty chief of the senses. Okay. So then the purport. We haven't got there yet. Here's the purport. Everyone has experienced that the mind is difficult to control. To subdue and purify it is a great achievement, because the mind is the ruler of the senses. When the mind is controlled, the functions of the senses, including kirtan, are also controlled. In the words of the mendicant from Avanti in Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll skip the Sanskrit, all the senses have been under the control of the mind since time immemorial, and the mind himself never comes under the sway of any other sense. He is stronger than the strongest, and his godlike power is fearsome. Therefore, anyone who can bring the mind under control becomes the master of all the senses. Next, and there's another verse quoted. Charity, prescribed duties, observing major and minor regulative principles, hearing from scripture, performing pious works, and observing purifying vows all finally aim at subduing the mind. Indeed, concentration of the mind on the Supreme is the highest yoga. Therefore, in the opinion of the residents of Tapoloka, one achieves the highest perfection by controlling one's mind and engaging it in remembrance of the Supreme Lord. And we'll read one more verse, because there's more in this verse on this topic. Vaikuntha Dutas, but we consider chanting to be alone the most excellent form of bhakti. We consider. They consider smarana. We consider chanting. Most excellent form of bhakti. Better than remembering, which appears only in one's own turbulent heart. For chanting, harnesses not only the faculty of speech, which it engages directly, but also the mind and sense of hearing. And chanting helps not only the person practicing it, but others as well. Commentary. This is the Vaikuntha Dude's own opinion. Smarana is purely an internal function, but kirtan, which actively employs one's power of speech, affects both one's internal and external environments. Kirtan also acts on the mind, bringing it subconsciously into contact with all spiritual sensory functions. If this subtle contact were not established, the spirit soul could not awaken to his real life. Transcendental sound of kirtan enters the ears on its own strength, without any effort, by the hearer. And thus it benefits not only the chanter, but everyone who hears it, treating them all as its subservient dependents. The process of remembrance does not have such power. There's more, but I just want an important point. Very important point. Again, back to Gopakumara and Tapaloka. When Gopakumara saw everyone, four Kumaras, they left. All the others who were engaged in conversation, they left, and they all sat in trance. And Gopakumara, he couldn't even communicate with anybody. He didn't know what. No one would talk to him. And not only did no one would talk to him, but his mind was disturbed. He wasn't getting any benefit from seeing all of them in trance. His mind was thinking, hey, where's the Lord of the universe? And he couldn't even ask anybody, because anyone he approached, blank stare. They didn't even recognize, they even looked at him. Their samadhi had no impact on him. No impact at all. He was looking for the Lord of the universe. He thought he must be here. I saw him on Mahaloka. Saw him Janaloka. He's there accepting sacrifices. And he must be here. Where is he? But nobody would answer. And his mind started to think. And as we said, his enthusiasm to meditate on the Lord, it went down. It dwindled as a result of their association. Because they weren't doing anything for him to stimulate his aspiration, which was to see. Okay, they're seeing, but he's not seeing. He's seeing them, but what are they seeing? He doesn't know. So Pipalayana Rishi, he sees Gopakumara like this. His mind is unsettled. And he happened to be there, and he approached him. And then he started to extol the virtues of the mind at Smarana. And he even said, there are a few references. I'll just give them. He says that he said, why are you wandering around trying to see the Lord of the universe with your eyes? Concentrate your mind in meditation, and then you will see the Lord both within and without. Direct vision of the Lord takes place in the heart. When the mind is happy, the senses are happy. Without the function of the mind, the senses are useless. I'm summarizing. Pipalayana continues to emphasize the superiority of the mind above all else, even to the point that if the Lord out of compassion reveals himself to the eyes, without the mind, that vision occurs by the power of the mind. In other words, without the mind, you can't. It's not possible. You can't experience anything, because even if you see with the eyes, without the mind, how can you understand what you're seeing? And then he says, as much as the mind becomes peaceful, pleasure grows. No sense can feel such expanding pleasure. Then what does Pipalayana Rishi suggest next? He says, if what I'm suggesting about you to control the mind is too difficult, then why don't you go to Gandhamadana or Bhadarika Ashram, where Naranarayan is situated? Because Naranarayan Rishi, he's the Supreme Lord, who's the Lord of the ascetics. And Naranarayan Rishi, actually, his purpose of his advent was to teach austerities, meditation, and severe austerities as a means for controlling the mind. So if you find it too difficult, why don't you go to Gandhamandana and see Naranarayan Rishi? Then you'll be inspired. You'll see the Lord. Then what happens? Then Naranarayan Rishi manifested to Gopal Kumar in the form, from the forms of the Kumaras. The four Kumaras began, they manifested this form of Naranarayan Rishi. Then the four Kumaras began manifesting other forms of the Lord. I can't remember, Lord Nisringa. One of the four Kumaras manifested a form of Lord Nisringa. Another one manifested a form of Lord Yageshwara. And when Gopal Kumara saw the form of the Lord, he fell down and prostrated himself and said, "Forgive me for whatever offenses I may have committed to you." And then his mind, seeing the Lord, he became very satisfied. And he decided to stay there for some time, because now he was seeing the Lord manifest, because Pipalayana Rishi said, here, by deep meditation, and not only that, but he got the blessings of the four Kumaras, you can see the Lord, and both within and without, and his mind started to become peaceful, a little peaceful, and he decided to stay. But then what happened? What happened was his mind became restless. Why did his mind become restless? It should have become peaceful. His mind became restless because he had the blessing that he would maintain the right mentality to taste the fruit of his mantra. And that, what he was experiencing there on Tapaloka, wasn't satisfying to him. And because it wasn't satisfying to him, then what happened was, he started to think about going someplace else, basically what happened. He started to think, maybe I should go back to Mathura. But then it just so happens that Lord Brahma appeared. And when Lord Brahma appeared, he asked the four Kumaras, who's that? They said, you don't know, recognize Lord Brahma. Anyways, then there's a whole thing. Then instead of going back to Mathura, Gopal Kumara chanted on his mantra, and he decided to go to Satyaloka to see Lord Brahma. And then, but the point was, is that his mind was not satisfied. The meditation that the residents of Tapaloka were performing was not satisfactory to them, to him. His mind began hankering for something more, which was akin to the object of his meditation, which he aspired for as a result of chanting his mantra, such as the power of the mantra. And the most wonderful thing, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, But the reason why I'm jumping ahead, because it really puts into perspective what the Vaikuntha Dutas are telling Gopakumara. They said, don't worry. The nature of Harinam Sankirtan is such that even newcomers can experience some relish. Newcomers to bhakti can experience some relish and some taste. So after this whole conversation, which is going to go on to explain the virtues of chanting above smaranam, we're going to get there. After the whole thing happens, what happens is then the Vaikuntha Dutas tell, as we've already mentioned before, Gopakumara to go back to Mathura, because that's the best place. It's the best place to achieve the object of your desire. So even though he's come to this association with the Vaikuntha Dutas, he's gone from Tapaloka to Mahakalapur, and Mahakalapur, he meets the Vaikuntha Dutas. He goes to Satyaloka, then Mahakalapur meets Vaikuntha Dutas. Then they tell him, go back to Mathura. And he goes back to Mathura, and what does he get in Mathura? What happens to him there? What happens to them there is he sees his spiritual master absorbed, completely absorbed in ecstasy of the names of the Lord. Spiritual master embraces him and says everything the mantra, everything with this mantra will bring about the desired goal. Everything that you need is there. Braces him, falls into ecstasy. Gopakumara begins chanting the names in ecstasy. And the result, of course, is, as we mentioned before, Vaikuntha Dutas appear to pick up Gopakumara and to bring him to Vaikuntha, thus establishing the superiority of the Harinam Sankirtan, the names of the Lord, above remembrance of the Lord. It's much more powerful, and as the Vaikuntha Dutas are going to go on to explain, that Harinam is so powerful that you get all the benefits. Memory, remembrance of the Lord, automatically is included within it. Of course, then they're going to have some discussion, which is coming up in a few verses. They're going to have some discussions to say, for some, memory may be better than chanting. For some, chanting may be better than remembering. But what's most important is taste, that which you relish, if the taste is there. And then after explaining that, then they're going to say, but we prefer, our preference, most important, this is our preference. And they're going to make this point. From that point on, it's going to be nothing but the virtues and the importance of chanting as a means for awakening taste, for controlling the mind, for remembering the Lord, for being with the Lord, for seeing the Lord, who's present in his name. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashodho Nitya Mukto Bidavan Nama Namino. Non-different from Krishna. All of these arguments will be fully established in the heart of Gopakumara to emphasize how much more important it is to them and should be to him to adopt the method of chanting. Kirtan will purify you. Kirtan will help you to be absorbed in remembrance. Kirtan will control the senses. And kirtan is so superior that you won't have to experience what you did in Tapaloka when everybody was sitting there in meditation and you were losing your enthusiasm. When you're around others who are similarly chanting Harinam Sankirtan, then what is it? You can, in Tapaloka, no inspiration, your enthusiasm dwindled. But when you associate with those who are chanting in Kirtan, what happens? It increases the inspiration, increases the remembrance, increases the enthusiasm, increases the purification. Therefore, it is the most superior form of bhakti. This is their argument. Most superior form. Then above our preference, as they say, above smaranam. So this is a little summary of the verses which are yet to come. But I'm going to finish the commentary where the transcendental sound of kirtan enters the ears on its own strength without any effort by the hearer. And thus it benefits not only the chanter, but everyone who hears it, treating them all as its subservient dependents. Process of remembrance does not have such power. In fact, as long as the mind's fickle character has not changed, smarana cannot manifest itself fully. When we realistically consider the relative value of smarana and kirtan, we find, therefore, that the difficulty of performing smarana does not make smarana more important. Because this was their argument. It's much more difficult. When you awaken the fruit of smarana, it means it's superior. Kirtan, it only involves one sense, just the tongue and then the ears, but they're subordinate to the mind. It's therefore they're using that as an argument to describe it as inferior. Then there's a verse that's quoted. I'm going to skip the verse that's quoted in the purport. And then by the kirtan of Lord Vishnu's names, even the sinful Ajamil, who could not remember the Lord at all, attained liberation. The beneficial results of meditation, sacrifice, and worship are all automatically obtained in the process of kirtan, especially in the present age. What was accomplished in the Krita age by meditation, in Treta by ritual sacrifices, and in Dwapara by worship of the deity of the Lord, in this Kali age is accomplished by loud chanting of the names of Keshava. The claim made in this statement and others about the potency of Harinam Sankirtan is not merely rhetoric. It is proven by the life histories of many successful Vaishnavas. Last point, and then we can begin chanting. Last point is the example here is of Ajamil. Now Ajamil, as we know, he chanted Namabhas. And one of the characteristics of Namabhas is it can free one from all the reactions of sinful life and put one on the platform of liberation. It so happens he chanted what's called Sanketa Namabhas. Sanketa Namabhas is when you chant a name of the Lord, but you ascribe it to something else. There are two types, Sanketa Namabhas. One is when you're chanting the name of the Lord, but you're he was ascribing it, the name of the Lord, to his son. That's one type of Sanketa Namabhas. Another type of Sanketa Namabhas is when you're chanting the name of the Lord, but you don't even know it's the name of the Lord. Example that's given in Harinam Chintamani is when chanting Haram, Haram, Haram. Or so many other examples. You don't realize it's the name of the Lord, but still it's the name of the Lord. So, Ajamil was chanting Namabhas. He wasn't committing any offense. He was chanting the names of the Lord. The Vaikuntha Dutas, the Yama came to stop, the Vishnu Dutas came to stop the Yama Dutas from taking Ajamil away. Ajamil had already, by his chanting, purified himself from all the reactions of his sinful life. As we know, then there was a conversation which ensued between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yamadutas, and although Ajamil achieved liberation, freedom from the reactions of his sins by chanting Namabhas, when he heard the Vishnu Dutas speaking to the Yamadutas, what happened to him there is by hearing that transcendental katha, some taste was awakened for him and within him, and the desire to go and to render service to the Lord was awakened to him as a result of hearing the conversation. Oftentimes, an analogy that I give, I've heard before, is used in this connection, is that by chanting Namabhas, it's like a person who has a passport. Now, if you have a passport, generally it means you can leave your country, right? Right? When you go to the immigration, they'll check your passport. But of course, if you have a passport, you can leave your country. But unless you have a visa, you can't get to where you want to go. So Namabhas is like having a passport. Yes, you can get liberation. But if you want to go beyond that, you have to be qualified. You have to have a visa. If you don't have a visa, your passport won't do. When you go to the immigration and say, I have my passport, they'll say, well, where's your visa? You can't get in. In the same way, Namabhas is freedom from sinful reactions. But if we actually want to go to our desired destination, and that's what happened to Ajamil, he became free from the reactions of sinful life. He became qualified by hearing the discussions of the Vishnu Dutas with the Yama Dutas, and then he was given, as described, a second chance. And then as a result of being given that second chance, he went to Hardwar, he engaged himself fully in the worship of the Lord, began meditating on the Lord, chanting the names of the Lord, hearing the glories of the Lord, and then the same Vishnu Dutas came to him again. So here it's described that Kirtan relieved Ajamil from the reactions of sinful life, who could not remember the Lord at all, but still he attained liberation. Such is the power of the names of the Lord. Okay. More evidence of the power of the names of the Lord. I think from here on, many of the verses have already been covered to some degree. We'll go into them and we'll read them in our next session, but I don't know if I'll get into as much detail as I have now, because the whole purpose I even started to read this section was, it all began when I read the quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur about how of the nine processes of devotional service can give one ecstatic love for the Lord, but of the nine processes of devotional service, most important is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Then we went on to explain how that was Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Sanatana Goswami, how Sanatana Goswami included those instructions in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and those instructions were included specifically in this section of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, establishing that of the nine processes of devotional service, most important is chanting the holy name of the Lord. And therefore, Vaikuntha Dutas, by their argument, and of course, by their example, will establish that very clearly in the following verses that will be coming up. So, sorry, I went ahead because I honestly don't know, honestly, if I'll be here in 2 days. I'll be here. The computer will be here. Microphone will be here. But I can't promise if the internet will be here. It's been very, very Yesterday, 20 times it went on and off. Literally, 20 times it went on and off. If we have to use mobile data connection, it won't work. And we're dependent on an Ethernet connection. So I'll try to be here if the connection is here. But as I said, it was off until just 15 minutes before today's session. And then Raj Kumar came up and said, it's on. So I said, well, let's go. But we'll see what happens in 2 days from now. Forgive me if I'm not here. But if I'm not here, it's only because of that reason. But we'll see. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shiva Siddhi Govardhana Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.